Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 6, Chapters 13 through 15. Chapter 13. Such are the writings of Serapion, but of Clement, the Stromatice, all the eight books are preserved with us, upon which he bestowed the following title, Titus Flavius Clements Stromatis, of Gnostic Memoirs According to the True Philosophy. And of equal number with these are his books entitled Hypotyposis, in which he mentions Pantanus by name as his teacher, and has set forth his interpretation of the scriptures and his traditions. There is also a book of his, The Exhortation to the Greeks, and the three books of the work entitled Pedagogus, and Who is the Rich Man That is Being Saved? Such is the title of another book of his, and the treatise on the Pascha, and discourses on fasting and on slander, and the exhortation to endurance or to the recently baptized, and the book entitled The Ecclesiastical Canon or Against the Judaizers, which has dedicated to Alexander, the bishop mentioned above. Now, in the Stromatis, he has composed a patchwork, not only of the divine scripture, but of the writings of the Greeks as well, if he thought that they also had said anything useful. And he mentions opinions from many sources, explaining Greek and barbarian alike, and moreover sifts the false opinions of the heresiarchs. And unfolding much history, he gives us a work of great erudition. With all these, he mingles also the opinions of the philosophers, and so he has suitably made the title of the Stromatis to correspond to the work itself. And in them, he has also made use of testimonies from the disputed writings, the book known as the Wisdom of Solomon and the Wisdom of Jesus, the son of Sirach, and the Epistle to the Hebrews, and those of Barnabas and Clement and Jude. And he mentions Tatian's book Against the Greeks and Cassian, since he also had composed a chronography, and moreover Philo and Aristobulus and Josephus and Demetrius and Eupolemus, Jewish writers, and that they would show all of them in writing that Moses and the Jewish race went back further in their origins than the Greeks. And the books of Clement, of which we are speaking, are full of much other useful learning. In the first of these, he shows with reference to himself that he came very near to the successors of the apostles, and he promises in them also to write a commentary on Genesis. And in his book on the Pascha, he professes that he was compelled by his companions to commit to writing traditions that he had heard from the elders of olden time for the benefit of those that should come after. And he mentions in it Melito and Irenaeus and some others, whose accounts also of the matter he has set down. Chapter 14. And in the Hypotyposis, to speak briefly, he has given concise explanations of all the canonical scriptures, not passing over even the disputed writings, I mean the Epistle of Hebrew and the remaining Catholic epistles, and the Epistle of Barnabas and the Apocalypse known as Peter's. And as for the Epistle to the Hebrews, he says indeed that it is Paul's, but that it was written for Hebrews in the Hebrew tongue, and that Luke, having carefully translated it, published it for the Greeks. Hence, as a result of this translation, the same complexion of style is found in this epistle and in the Acts, but that the words, Paul an apostle, were naturally not prefixed. For, says he, in writing to the Hebrews who had conceived a prejudice against him and were suspicious of him, he very wisely did not repel them at the beginning by putting his name. Then, lower down, he adds, but now, as the blessed elder used to say, since the Lord, being the apostle of the Almighty, was sent to the Hebrews, Paul, through modesty, since he had been sent to the Gentiles, does not inscribe himself as an apostle of the Hebrews, both to give due deference to the Lord, and because he wrote to the Hebrews also out of his abundance, being a preacher and apostle of the Gentiles. And again, in the same books, Clement has inserted a tradition of the primitive elders with regard to the order of the Gospels as follows. He said that those Gospels were first written, which include the genealogies, but that the gospel according to Mark came into being in this manner. When Peter had publicly preached the word at Rome, and by the Spirit had proclaimed the gospel, that those present, who were many, exhorted Mark, as one who had followed him for a long time and remembered what had been spoken, to make a record of what was said, and that he did this, and distributed the gospel among those that asked him, and that when the matter came to Peter's knowledge, he neither strongly forbade it, nor urged it forward, but that John, last of all, conscious that the outward facts had been set forth in the gospels, was urged on by his disciples, and, divinely moved by the Spirit, composed a spiritual gospel. This is Clement's account. And again, Alexander, of whom we spoke before, mentions Clement, and at the same time also Pantanus, in a certain letter to Origen, as men who had been known to him. He writes as follows, "For this also has proved to be the will of God, as thou knowest, that the friendship that comes to us from our forefathers should remain unshaken, nay, rather grow warmer and more steadfast. For we know, as fathers, those blessed ones who went before us, with whom we shall be ere long. Pantanus, truly blessed, and my master, and the holy Clement, who was my master and profited me, and all others like them. Through these I came to know thee, who art the best in all things, and my master and brother. Thus do these matters stand." Now Adamantius, for this was also Origen's name, when Zephyrinus was at that time ruling the Church of the Romans, himself states in writing somewhere that he stayed at Rome. His words are, "desiring to see the most ancient church of the Romans." After spending a short time there, he returned to Alexandria, and indeed continued to fulfill in that city his customary work of instruction with all zeal, Demetrius, the bishop of the people there, still exhorting and well-nigh entreating him to ply diligently his task of usefulness for the brethren. Chapter 15. But when he saw that he was becoming unable for the deeper study of divine things, namely the examination and translation of the sacred writings, and in addition for the instruction of those who were coming to him, and did not give him time to breathe, for one batch of pupils after another kept frequenting from morn to night his lecture room, he made a division of the numbers, selecting Heraclius from among his pupils, a man who was zealous of divine things, and as well a very learned person and no tyro in philosophy. He gave him a share in the task of instruction, assigning to him the preliminary studies of those who were just learning their elements, and reserving for himself the teaching of the experienced pupils. Here ends Book 6 and chapters 13 through 15, and we'll move on now to some notes and commentary. These chapters focus primarily on Clement of Alexandria, the teacher of Origen, and upon Clement's writings. Chapter 13 gives an overview of the writings of Clement, who had been a student of Pantanus. His chief works are listed as follows. First, the Stromatis. The translator and editor, J.E.L. Olton, says that this term came from the striped bag in which slaves rolled up the bedclothes. It thus came to refer to a patchwork or a collection of miscellanies. Works by this title were also produced by Plutarch and by Origen. Second one mentioned is the Hypotyposis. And this was a collection of interpretations of scripture and tradition. Next, the exhortation to the Greeks. Then the Pedagogus, a treatise titled, "Who is the Rich Man That is Being Saved?" On the Pascha, on fasting, on slander, a work titled Exhortation to Endurance, or alternatively titled To the Recently Baptized, and a work titled The Ecclesiastical Canon, also titled Against the Judaizers. Turning then to the Stromatis, Eusebius points out that it included references to the disputed works, the so-called anti-legomena, and this included references to both apocryphal works like the Wisdom of Solomon and Sirach and Barnabas and First Clement, but also to canonical works like Hebrews and Jude, that, again, Eusebius is still referring to as the anti-legomena, the works that are spoken against. He notes that in the work on the Pascha, Clement makes reference to traditions from the elders of olden times including Melito and Irenaeus. Chapter 14 begins with the description of the content of the hypotyposis, noting here that Clement also addressed the various disputed works, the Anti-Legomena, listing both the apocryphal books like Barnabas and the Apocalypse of Peter, but also now recognized canonical works like Jude and the Catholic Epistles as being among the disputed works in Eusebius' time. Special attention is given to the book of Hebrews. Clement says it was written by Paul, originally in Hebrew, and Luke translated it for the Greeks, as is evident by its similarity in style to the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote. He adds that Paul's name was not attached to the work since the Jews had great prejudice and suspicion against Paul. And he adds that Paul also did not add his name out of modesty since he was primarily an apostle to the Gentiles. Also in this work, Clement discusses the tradition regarding the order of the Gospels. He says that the first Gospels written were those with genealogies. That would be Matthew and Luke. Mark then wrote his Gospel based on Peter's preaching in Rome. Finally, John wrote his spiritual Gospel, as Clement calls it, after being urged on by his disciples. And he says that John wrote this work fully aware of the outward facts that had already been set down in the other Gospels. A letter from Alexander to Origen is cited, mentioning both Pantaenus and Clement. It is then noted that Adamantius, or Origen, as he is also called, had visited Rome during the time of the bishop Zephyrinus before returning to Alexandria to serve there under the bishop Demetrius. Chapter 15 describes how Origen was committed to doctrinal study, especially to the study of the scriptures and to teaching. When he became overwhelmed with students, he made his pupil Heraclius his assistant, with Heraclius teaching the beginning students and Origen the more experienced students. In conclusion, these chapters continue Eusebius' interest in describing the life and ministry of Origen, and here the focus, though, is on Clement of Alexandria, Origen's teacher. He provides a helpful survey of Clement's literary works, and these in particular also provide insights into the study of Scripture at this time, and also the recognition, the developing recognition of the canon of Scripture. It also shows Clement's interest in Scripture had an influence upon Origen's particular interest in the study of Scripture. Well, this brings this episode to a conclusion. Hope this has been helpful to those who are listening, and I will look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.